Near the start of the pandemic about 9 months ago, the Brandywine Zoo broke ground on its Madagascar exhibit, and now it's open. Delaware Natural Resources Secretary Sean Garvin spoke at the exhibit's recent ribbon-cutting event, with very few people present while others looked in via YouTube.
In October, we welcomed 3 radiated tortoises, with 1 from Seneca Park Zoo and 2 from the Miami Zoo. 4 ring-tailed lemurs from the Bronx Zoo, 2 black and white ruffed lemurs from the Duke Lemur Center, and 1 male and 1 female crowned lemur from the Duke Lemur Center.
The male and female crowned lemurs come as a breeding recommendation from the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, and the hope is to have baby lemurs for visitors to enjoy. The entire exhibit covers about 4,000 square feet and cost $3.5 million to build. Money came from the state's bond bill and a matching grant from the Land and Water Conservation Fund. Along a walkway that goes up and around the exhibit, visitors young and old are entertained by the lemurs in particular as they walk, run, and climb ropes and trees while interacting with each other. Zoo Director Brent Spencer.
One of the things we were trying to do is make it so that we have multiple viewing areas. Each viewing area is a little bit different. You can see the waterfall or hear the waterfall or possibly both. We have animals that will sit up high, sit down low, so no matter where you are, you should have a good view of an animal in the exhibit.
It also includes informational displays about the wildlife and why they're endangered.
It's a good exhibit for people that it should be active. There should be animals moving around all the time. It's a good educational opportunity, and it's a good conservation opportunity. Madagascar is one of the poorest countries in the world, and a lot of the conservation issues that are affecting Madagascar are things that we can impact here in Delaware. For example, vanilla comes from Madagascar. Madagascar is the largest producer of vanilla. So when you buy vanilla for baking, you should buy something that's responsibly sourced and they're not cutting down rainforests, which is where these lemurs live.
Spencer adds the exhibit's inhabitants are here thanks to the collaborative nature of the zoo community nationwide.
These are all captive-born animals. Mm-hmm. As a zoo that's accredited by the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, we participate in SSP, Species Survival Plan, programs. And so we're able to move animals back and forth between the zoos. And so when we decided to put this exhibit together, we reached out to the AZA and the various SSPs and said, this is what we'd like to do. And they were able to provide animals for us. So they came from a number of other American zoos.
Mark Schaefer's tenure as executive director of the Delaware Zoological Society has coincided with the COVID-19 pandemic, which forced the zoo to close for a while and then reopen in a COVID-19 world. The Madagascar exhibit faced a brief setback, but it's a key attraction now as the zoo again welcomes visitors with new procedures in place. For example, you can't just show up at the gate.
Back in the good old days, which would have been a year ago, people could just come in without making a reservation. We could welcome them very naturally, but because of COVID, we need to make sure we have the right number of people in the zoo at any particular time. So we limit to 150 people per, we call it a pulse, which is a time block within the course of a day. We have 2 for the most part, at morning and afternoon. And people have been very respectful of that. So we've been able to manage the capacity naturally through the time reservation systems that we've incorporated this year.
Spencer says they have taken other measures to keep people socially distanced and safe.
We were closed for a while. We opened up again in June. We're opening up with limited capacity. We disinfect touch points. We require people to wear masks. We ask for social distancing, and we have markers on the ground indicating what social distance looks like here at the zoo.
Masks are required to be worn by anyone age 5 or older, and they are strongly encouraged for children between 2 and 5. A recent popular zoo activity provided encouragement to move forward, says Schaefer.
But people have been very compliant and very appreciative. In fact, we did a boo at the zoo, which is a Halloween trick-or-treating for young kids. Mm-hmm. And we modified it this year. Years past, it would be an evening event, and then maybe up to 450 people at a time congregating. Because of COVID and other reasons, we made some changes. We made it a 3-day event. We so popular, we added a 4th day during the day with timed intervals for coming in. And the feedback, I just looking at the survey results we got today, people were remarkably happy with the safety protocols we put in place with the timed intervals. That really meant a lot to people. The feedback was spectacular. So I think we learned a lot from that experience.
Spencer agrees the COVID-19 protocols in place seem to give people confidence about visiting the zoo.
Because we restrict our numbers, we really strive to make sure that we provide that good family safe space. And actually our attendance has been pretty good since we reopened. People know that this is a safe place to come, so they feel comfortable coming here.
The Madagascar exhibit is already one of the largest display habitats at the zoo, but the construction continues. Schaefer says a center for quarantining and taking care of animals is being built, and the front of the zoo is being overhauled as part of the Brandywine Zoo's master plan.
It just means that the Brandywine Zoo is really on an upswing. The accomplishments of this, the joy it's going to bring for years is really rewarding. But it doesn't stop there. We're building the Animal Services Building, which will be more behind the scenes than not for many guests. But guests will be able to tour it. But we're also in the process of a new capital campaign for the front of the zoo, where we're doing a $5 million capital improvement, where we're going to be building a South American wetlands with flamingos and punas, and that's going to increase the footprint of the zoo by another 20%. So again, it's just a very important step in the progress of building a more sustainable zoo going forward. We're very excited about that.
Governor John Carney is also excited. Carney lives in Wilmington, and he was called the zoo's biggest fan by DENREC Secretary Sean Garvin. But Carney says the zoo is just one piece of what makes Wilmington's Brandywine Park special.
This park is such an incredible asset for all neighborhoods in our city, not just the neighborhood up the hill where I live. It's great to have this park and all the beautiful things here right in my backyard, if you will, and I don't have to cut the grass or rake the leaves. But it serves that purpose for every neighborhood, frankly, in our city and neighborhoods across Newcastle County.
If you plan a visit, remember that the Madagascar animals are native to a subtropical climate and will be brought inside to a holding area when the temperature falls below 45 degrees. Mark Fauser, Delaware Public Media.